All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
We're live. What's up, everybody? Welcome to West 5 Pod, podcast about WVU football, the Big 12 Conference, and the holiday cheer. I'm Joel Bracken, WVU stats guy. He's Jordan Pinto, game day shorts. And the West Virginia football season is over. 13 games, 7 losses, 6 wins, coaching change, lots of player changes, lots to talk about. How are you doing, Jordan? Happy holidays.
Back at you, man. I'm doing better now. I'm not going to lie. On Wednesday, late Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, despite my best efforts, just an indication of what a true sick piece of shit that I am. I found a way to get very upset about the game by the time it was over. but I'm better now. Ultimately, it didn't matter. Obviously some concern about some of the transfer, like the lack of movement in a positive manner on the West Virginia side of things, both staff related and player related. But overall, I'm good, man. I had a good time watching the game last night. We're recording this on Saturday. There's about 4 minutes left in the first half of the Penn State game. So Saturday about 1:30. Decent game last night. Indiana ultimately comes up short, but so far, so good today from a gambling perspective for me. So I don't know. Overall, I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm glad we're done with that. You know, I think hope breeds eternal. It's the hope that kills you. But I think very positive vibes still, just in terms of the changes we've made and the you know, potential and the optimism and all that kind of stuff around how this offseason could go. So I'm good. Yeah. I've tucked into enjoying the rest of the games as a neutral fan at this point.
Yeah, you got it. It's good for the refresh. Obviously bowl season's upon us, playoff season, which has been, I think it'll be exciting, especially this first weekend with all the home games. Lots of discourse here in Columbus about how many Tennessee fans are showing up. I feel like everyone is talking about that. So be interested to see how that goes tonight.
Lots of them?
It's been similar to that Pitt situation like 2 or 3 years ago where there were the reports that West Virginia fans were buying all the secondary market tickets and Tennessee fans are kind of doing the same here in Columbus, getting at that they're going to be the predominant fan base. I don't know. We'll see. There's 110,000 people in that stadium, so I think it'll be fine. They'll have plenty of Buckeye fans there, but they always do. They fill it up. So yeah, West Virginia kicked off bowl season, right? Were we the first bowl game? Or
there was one on Saturday. Not of much consequence, obviously. Not that ours was, you know.
Yeah.
It's never a good sign when there's literally nothing else on a Tuesday and they're still like, yeah, we don't want you to kick off till 9 o'clock.
Right. Yeah. Have you ever had Scooter's Coffee? Is that
no? I've never heard of Scooter's Coffee.
I don't know if that's a chain somewhere in Florida, or I'm not sure where that really is at, but never have had it. Never even really heard of it. So.
I think the game was in Texas, right? Frisco, like suburb of Dallas, I think. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
They're headquartered in down there.
Yeah. So it's a fitting way to end the Neil Brown era and the Scooters Frisco Bowl. And obviously he wasn't coaching this game, but a weird game in terms of motivations for everybody. Like, I think the fans... this is a game I know you said you got invested. It ended up being a close game down the stretch and kind of exciting towards the end. But one of those games where I feel like the consequence of losing is zero. Like nothing really matters in this other than you in the season with a losing record versus a winning record. But, I think all eyes are already on the new beginnings with Rich Rod. So, I don't know. What do you want to highlight from this game? I mean, I think there were some individual performances and obviously some well, a lot of final Mountaineer performances. What do you think is like the headline out of this game?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in terms of like stuff that you would want to highlight, I mean, you know, I thought perfect encapsulation of Garrett Green's career. Right. Like, you know, the guy is a dog. Guy laid it all out there, made some electric plays with his legs, threw some really nice deep balls. And then ultimately, you know, made the mistake that kind of, you know, I don't know how realistic, I mean, it was a realistic comeback attempt. If we would have scored, we would have won the game. But, you know, I think just like the questionable decision making of the slide a half yard short of the marker so that we can't stop the clock, so that we feel like we need to rush up, and then throwing a seam ball into triple coverage was just a perfect way to end the Neil Brown era. Perfect way to end Garrett Green's career. I don't know if you saw, he announced he's going to the NFL. He's going to try and be a wide receiver, which curious to see how it goes. You know, I think, quickness wise, I'll be curious to see what he runs in the 40-yard dash. I assume it's going to be somewhere in the 4.5s, but I mean, I remember in the offseason there was some data coming out of some of the summer camps that he did where he had like the best quickness numbers of any quarterback like ever recorded. And, you know, like, in terms of like 3-cone drill, 20-yard shuttle, like the stuff they do to measure your change of direction. So, you know, I think he probably does have the physical tools to be successful.
He's gotten a lot bigger too. I feel
he's
like
big, and he's bigger. Yeah. I mean, and 5'11", what, 195 or 5'11", 200 is plenty big enough to play slot receiver in the NFL. Yeah. You know, probably hard to play quarterback at that size, but, yeah, you know, I think he played well. You know, man, Huddy, if Huddy ends up actually leaving, which he is in the transfer portal as of yesterday, you know, I think it's a hell of a way for him to go out. And then I think ultimately the highlight, or, you know, the headline is just that the same issues that plagued this team throughout the 6-year Neil Brown era were very much present, reared their ugly heads throughout this game, even with Neil Brown not on the sidelines. You know, time management issues, ultimately not taking care of the ball, you know, the margin stuff, field position early in the game, especially, like, you know, Memphis, it felt like, was averaging starting field position for like the first half was inside of our territory, and ours was like inside of our own 15. So, you know, I think that would be the headline. Is, you know, it's almost that there wasn't a headline. It was just very much more of the same, of what we've seen this year and for the last six.
Yeah, we are who you thought we were.
I mean, we are who we thought we were. Yeah, very much.
Yep. We've seen it a lot this year, and yeah, just even with the couple weeks of bowl prep, a lot of chaos around the program, and yeah, you are exactly who you've been all year. Yeah, I mean, to your point with Garrett Green, like, awesome way for him to go out, I think, just in terms of he filled up the stat sheet. You know, he had his best passing performance, I think you could argue, of his career, at least of the season, for sure. I think he had more yards in a game against Houston last year, but coming into this game, he had 8 big time throws against FBS opponents this year. He had 8 in the game in Memphis, which is just insane. I mean, that was what we were looking for all year long. That's what he did a lot last year. So, you know, he graded out over 90 on PFF, which is just really high. Really great game for him. And then, yeah, Hudson Clement, multiple touchdowns. Awesome way for him to, really would hope that it's not the final game we see of him in a West Virginia uniform, but like you mentioned, he is in the portal. And yeah, I mean, just like, I think the main thing of this game is you just got down early, and even though you did claw your way back, it's hard to withstand. I mean, this isn't rocket science, but it's really hard to withstand just going down 17-0 before you really like decide to start playing. It just like we didn't play the first, what was it, like a little over the first quarter and a half or so, like, until I feel like we actually hit the ground and we're in the game. So, and then of course you have the crazy ending with the seam interception, but then the fumble as the guy was starting to slide. I don't think I've ever seen a non-quarterback player, defensive players will give themselves up when they get picked. Sometimes they'll kind of like, you know, slide into the ground, but, that sort of the rule about the fumble, I don't think I've ever seen that be enacted on a non-quarterback. So
No, first time. Once again, we find unique and hilarious ways to, right? Like, you know, and I mean, it was going to be tough because what, there was going to be like 8 seconds left. We were going to have the ball on the 40-yard line. But you were going to get at least, you know, one shot to probably try and get it to the 30 or 35 or 25, 30, and then take a shot at the end zone, you know, and denied. Stupid.
Slides really screwed us this year on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that Oklahoma State one was one that I think about. I think it was Oklahoma State, whatever, where we, Garrett Green, they stopped him. He had the space to get the first down, and then they ruled him down before. And then, of course, this one. And yeah. Just
Kenny Pickett ruined football for everybody. It's a real shame.
Yeah. That's it's true. So, you know, I think I don't know. I feel not, I don't want to say apathetic about this game, but I'm just like happy to put this game to bed and just, you know, it is what it is. I think this team is going to be completely different next year. Which is, in football, is it larger transition than basketball? Like, we're kind of been seeing this recently where our rotation for basketball is changing a lot. But yeah, I mean, we'll get into it here in a minute about the football team. It's just, you know, there's going to be position groups that are going to be brand new. So it's going to be interesting. So I'm trying to think, since we recorded last was the Rich Rodriguez, we recorded like before the Rich Rod opening press conference.
Right. Yeah. It had been announced, but he hadn't been introduced yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we sort of talked about some of the ideas, but really like tapping into things like Pat McAfee and leaning into the national brand. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's been a big story. I mean, obviously Belichick made the move at the same time Rodriguez did, which, you know, that's going to capture more national eyes. But I mean, Pat McAfee and even Nick Saban on College Game Day, like, I feel like they're keeping us in the conversation at a national level. So really cool to see. And it's going to be just super intriguing to see how Rich Rod handles everything. Roster. I mean, we don't even have really coaching. You know, the only coach decision we know is Blaine Stewart. So
I think he announced that his wide receivers coach, let me get my phone. I think he did announce two guys from Jacksonville State are coming.
Okay.
Here, hold on. Wide receivers coach Ryan Garrett and tight ends inside receivers coach Michael Nisewander.
Okay.
So I guess I don't know what that means for Blaine Stewart, because obviously Blaine Stewart was the tight ends coach, and it, like you said, it has been announced that he is being retained. So,
and nobody else is being retained, right? That's been like officially stated.
Maybe Mike Joseph. I think Mike Joseph might have been confirmed. You know, I think what I've read is that all the support personnel, so that's like front office people, the GM, which I, you know, we can get into the GM here a little later, are going to be evaluated over the next, like, recruiting staff next week or two are going to be evaluated, and then a decision will be made who all's staying. But I think from the direct coaching staff, it's just Blaine Stewart. And then I think, as of today or yesterday, I can't remember, but those two guys from Jacksonville State have been announced.
Yeah. So, you know, there's new coaches coming in, new players. There's so much speculation, and I feel like it's something we can probably do better as a retro than a predictive, because it's hard to know who's even interviewing for these positions or who Rich Rod has in mind. I mean, the obvious for players and coaches is Jacksonville State. Like, there is a pipeline there, but when you're starting over fresh, it is going to be sort of wide open in my eyes. So, I don't know. Do you want to sort of walk through the roster and talk about, like, we've had lots of players enter the transfer portal. Do you want to kind of walk through and talk about what are the changes that we know? And sort of where they're
I think it makes, let's talk about like the certainties, right? I think you're right. Speculating at this point is probably a fruitless effort. So yeah, let's talk about what we know.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, let's just maybe go by, let's start on offense and we can go through position groups. So starting at the quarterback position, we know Garrett Green's done. He's going to the NFL as a receiver prospect. So we lost Ryder Burton. He came from BYU. He was, I don't think he got any action this year, but
I don't think he got a snap.
So Nico Markiel is really your only quarterback who has any experience who is going to, I imagine at this point, stay on the roster. Obviously, these things can still change. And the portal is still open for these guys for another couple weeks, right?
I think one more week. I think December 28th. And I think that's been a source of a lot of the criticism is, you know, there's guys on these CFP teams who will likely transfer. Bo Pribula from Penn State, you know, obviously relevant, they're playing right now, is one who called it out. Is like, look, the timeline that we're faced with in the new bowl format makes this impossible. Just because, you know, there are teams who they make a run, guys don't want to leave. But at the same time, by the time that if you make a run all the way to the title, you miss the chance to enroll in your new school in January. So, you know, you can't take visits. You can't do any of that stuff. So, yeah, it needs a complete overhaul. But I think the way that it's currently formatted, they have till the 28th to it'll close up until after spring ball.
Yeah. And Bo Pribula would probably be getting some playing time. Penn State up 28-0 now. So still in the first half. Yeah, that's a scary situation if your team makes the playoffs and then you all of a sudden start losing some depth.
Yeah.
Especially in a potential four-week gauntlet. It'd be tough. So quarterback position, you know, Nico is the only guy we know of who's still on the roster and has experience at West Virginia. If we move to running back position, CJ Donaldson is in the portal. So obviously been kind of a household name the last three seasons, correct? He's played three full seasons for WVU. Let me see. We have his snap. He's played in 30 games for West Virginia. So that's a big loss. We have Jaheim still on the roster. I wonder if he is the guy going forward. I mean, I feel like he could be a Rich Rod type guy. I've seen him on social media kind of saying goodbyes to players and you know, obviously like going to miss the seniors, that kind of stuff. But that's sort of what we're working with in the running back room. Receiver room, we already had some big transfers hit. I think one of the most impactful ones is Hudson Clement. And also Traylon Ray. Those are two guys that have already hit the portal.
No, Ray, I don't think has he?
Yeah, he has. I'm pretty sure. Man. He's on this list as being in the portal. Yeah, so he has 2 years left. So does Hudson Clement, both with 2 years left. 23 games for Clement, 22 for Traylon Ray. I think those are significant losses because when you start looking around, I mean, just honestly, the offense in general, you're starting to look around and it's just going to be a lot of new faces. I think Rigdarius Farmer, Day-Day Farmer also is in the portal. So who do we have potentially coming back in the receiving room? It would be Ronnie Gallagher. Is Preston Fox have another year?
Preston Fox has one more year. And then CJ Cole, redshirt junior.
Okay.
From West Virginia. I'm sure that's – it's bleak. I think does Jaden Bray technically has another year. Obviously, you know, he's a guy who probably got a bag to come here and play. I think he ended up with two catches and was fighting injuries for most of the rest of the season. I don't see him on our list, though, that he has entered the portal. So I would assume that he would be sticking around here for his last year. Obviously subject to change. But
Cole Taylor's done in the tight end position. Traylon Davis has still got a year, correct?
Traylon Davis still has a year.
I think, you know, just as a reminder, I think a lot of us remember this, but the offensive line was pretty decimated when Neil Brown took over. And that was, I think, a large factor in a slower rebuild of, like, hard to be successful year one. The portal is much different now than it was, like, 6 or 7 seasons ago. But let's talk about the offensive line. It's gutted. I mean, you don't really have anybody coming back who played any significant snaps this year. Wyatt Milam's going to the league. Good for him. Remack is in the portal. Brandon Yates is done. Jaquay Hubbard is done. Nick Malone is done. That's kind of your starting five. And then Sullivan Weedman in the portal. Johnny Williams in the portal. So then you're left with Landon Livingston, Xavier Bosley,
Nick Crahey, Lucas Austin. And yeah, I mean, a bunch of guys who essentially have never played for us.
Yeah.
who, you know, I think we like, right? If you buy the coach bullshit that you hear throughout the season, oh, we like this guy. You know, he's going to be ready. Kyle Altooner, a guy who I think would have played for us this year but got hurt in fall camp. Should be back, right? So, you know, it's not like we – like if we had a game, we could field an offensive line, but
yeah,
you would not recognize any of the names besides Landon Livingston.
Yeah. So I'm going to read this in sequential order of snaps this year. Jaquay Hubbard gone, Nick Malone gone, Remack gone, Yates gone, Milam gone, Johnny Williams gone. So your top six snap guys are gone. Landon Livingston is next. He had 86 snaps, and then you come all the way down. Sullivan Weedman gone. And then Xavier Bosley had 25 snaps, and that's pretty much it. I mean, that's the extent of the snaps we are returning. So,
oh dear.
Yeah, I mean, that's just tough. So what did I say for Livingston? 86 and 25. So a little over 100 snaps between two guys is what you're returning on the offensive line. And, I mean, that's not that you can't go get bodies now, and, you know, talent evaluation is going to be important in that, but that is just the facts. Like, you don't have a lot of returning talent on the offense other than Jaheim White, Nico Markiel, Gallagher, and Fox. I mean, Traylon Davis. That's pretty much it. So as we sit here on December 21st, I'm just saying, get ready to learn some new names and watch some tape from guys
who
played somewhere else last year, because there's not a lot of bodies remaining. And I don't say this to be like panic inducing. Like, I think this is normal process, especially with coaching changes, all this stuff. If I could keep like one guy, it's probably Hudson Clement.
For sure.
Keep him on the roster. I mean, CJ also, I like CJ a lot. But also, I mean, I don't know. I think Remack and Weedman, I don't love losing those guys either. I mean, I feel like Remack's a big one.
Yeah. If I was going to like do it in order, I would say probably Huddy, Remack, Donaldson, and then Ray and Day Day, just in terms of like guys who have gone into the portal. Would be great if we could get, you know, I think the Huddy one is interesting. I've heard some interesting stuff basically of, you know, he obviously did not get a big, he got some NIL, but did not get a big deal. And, you know, guys like Jaden Bray and Justin Robinson, obviously probably got significantly more money to transfer here from other schools. And then he, I think, tripled them up combined in terms of production, right? And so hopefully this is just like a bargaining ploy of like, hey, you know, I don't really want to go, but if you're not going to pay me, then I'm going to see what else I can get, right? Because, I mean, that's a guy who has gone out and made play after play after play for us for really, you know, a season and a half now. And so, you know, I get it, you know, and I would hate to see him go, but I understand if that's the reason, I understand why he's doing it. But yeah, you know, CJ burst onto the scene, I would say, you know, probably a little bit of a lackluster sophomore season. And then this year we never really got him going. You know, I really thought there was a chance to kind of utilize him almost like an H-back, and as a way to manufacture touches for him without like taking Jaheim White off the field. And we just never tapped into it. It was like, no, he changed to running back. Now he's just a running back. And it's like, well, dude, it would be cool if we had another, you know, pass catching threat. Like, you look at the way people use H-back all over the country, college level, NFL level, like, and the way that we, you know, we think that we're trying to run an offense is get guys going every which way, lots of RPO, lots of play action. It seems like it's tailor made for something like that, where CJ Donaldson, guy who can catch passes, guy was tight end in high school, and we just never figured out how to leverage him in that way at all. And I think it was a failure of the offensive staff. I don't really feel like we ever put him in the best position to succeed. You know, he was a good player for us. Maybe didn't end up being as good as we all thought after the way he burst on as a freshman, but I really do feel like we underutilized him just in terms of what his skill set was.
Yeah. I mean, his very first college game as a true freshman versus Pitt. You know, he rushes for like 100 yards, had some really notable plays. And yeah, I mean, so he this year only 526 rushing yards. He actually was third on the team in rushing. Garrett Green led, and then Jaheim a little bit in front of CJ. But yeah, I mean, he broke 2,000 yards in his three seasons at WVU. And you know, he got the Rocky average almost 5 yards a carry over those three seasons. So, you know, I think a loss and you kind of mentioned these three on offense, it's the top three, experience guys as well. Remax played 38 games, as a Mountaineer, CJ 30 and Clement 23, Traylon Ray 22. I mean, those are four guys who have a lot of experience, at least 2 years each at the Power Four level, playing pretty much every game against the Power Four opponent. So some significant losses. What about the defense? So let's maybe start around the defensive line. Okay, so Sean Martin is finished. Fatorma Mulba is finished. TJ Jackson is finished. Do we have any portal guys? I don't know if we have any portal guys on the defensive line. But
Doesn't look like it.
Obina and Wuka. Yeah, and Wuka is the only one I'm seeing. So Taurus Simmons, I imagine, is also finished with eligibility. Do you know about that?
Yeah, senior. Yep.
Okay. So I'm looking. We got Hammond Russell.
Jaron Bradley, Ty French. Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead. Sorry. In terms of guys coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking, you know, Hammond Russell, I think, has a year left. Asani Redwood has two, potentially. Yep. Nate Gabriel has some years. Derek Berlitz, I'm not sure I've called his name before.
Yeah.
So
No, you haven't.
So yeah, looking thin on the D-line. I mean, so a lot of those were just no transfers there other than Onwuka, but a lot of guys were losing just experience there. Moving to sort of the middle of the defense, you know, looking at some transfers, Trey Lathan is another high experience guy you're losing. He's played 22 games. And then I think, you know, arguably the biggest one or top two would have to be Josiah Trotter. I mean,
yeah,
just the way he burst onto the scene as a freshman and was a fucking problem for everybody he played against. Yeah. 92 tackles this year. That one sucks.
It hurts. Yeah. Cause I mean, you know, right. Like first you're playing, the dude's your middle linebacker. So like the heart and soul of the defense, I thought he had the attitude for it. You know, I think we talked about it a couple times coming down the stretch of like, you know, you're seeing a little bit of maybe passive quitting but it was never him. Like even we're getting blown out, he's still in there, like shooting gaps, making tackles in the backfield. And it was easy to see him being like, you know, the guy for the next two or three seasons. Right. And being, it's like, you know, whatever else we have to worry about, like we're going to have to rebuild our secondary. We're going to have to find some new pass rushers. We have middle linebacker sorted out. And like, that's a really good place to be starting from. And now, you know, that's gone. And it's not even like he can come back out of the portal. He's already committed to Missouri. So that one's gone. And yeah, it sucks because, I mean, he was a big name. You know, I think he's like, obviously that's anybody who's followed football this century recognizes the Trotter name. If you follow it more than casually. And, you know, I think that's something that probably helps recruiting, like as weird as that is to say, is just because his brother's been really good too. But like the Trotter name, I think carries some weight, you know, in the circles of people who follow football more than casuals. And yeah, it just sucks, you know, and I think, I mean, the Lathan one sucks too, man, because, you know, he wasn't the player that he was like this year. He was not as good as he was last year pre-injury, but you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you see it all the time of people who especially have bad lower body injuries. It takes more than a season to come back and to fully get that mobility back, fully get the confidence back. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't think a bounce back season would have been entirely out of the question. And yeah, those are the two guys in the middle of your defense. And, you know, they certainly had their issues. Neither of them was very good in coverage this year, but, you know, it was nice having because I think Latham was only a sophomore as well. So, you know, yep. you were going to have both of those guys for at least the next two seasons and maybe Trotter for three. And you know, I think we've recruited, I think, if you look at the grades, pretty well at linebacker over the last two years. And again, none of those guys but Latham and Trotter in the portal. But, you know, I guess we're going to find out how well we actually evaluated. You know, I think we've had some pretty serious misses in some areas. So be interesting to see if those guys who we have coming in, you know, like a Ricky Williams, a Curtis Jones, people like that, even like a Reed Carrico. Carrico played almost 300 snaps this year. Like, can he step up? And he was good. He was a good player. Like, can he step up and in 600 snaps next year kind of replicate that production? So there's a lot of question marks there with those two guys in the portal.
And another name we didn't mention, he didn't play a snap this year, but Raleigh Collins. You know, I'm not really sure what happened with Raleigh Collins at West Virginia, but he was one of, if not the highest recruit in his class, was he not?
He was up there. I just don't think we ever knew what to do with him. Because I think he had...
he was a safety turn
linebacker. Safety. And I think he was a guy, so he was really skinny. He's like a taller guy, like 6'3". And came in at like 175. And we were kind of hoping that he would be a guy who would fill out to like 225 and or 230 and be able to play linebacker for us. And I just don't think he ever filled out. And so then he's kind of stuck in that no man's land of, well, here's what my skill set is, but my body type doesn't really necessarily match up with that. And so it was just kind of like a miscast thing where, you know, again, an evaluation miss where, you know, I think that maybe if he had filled out, he could have been a good player for us at linebacker, but lighter build and just with the physical tools that he had, he was just never really cut out to be a safety. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Yeah. Kind of a unfortunate miss there. I'll be curious to see if he goes anywhere. Because I'm sure, you know, at the lower level where maybe the size isn't as much of an issue, mm-hmm. Maybe find a role as like a box safety or something like that.
Yeah, he still has 2 years of eligibility, so he might find a landing spot. And then, you know, moving back to the secondary, significant losses, and debate.
I was say, are any of them significant?
Significant body number of losses. Yeah. Jaheim Joseph, Aiden Garnes, I mentioned Raleigh, Josiah Jackson, and then TJ Crandall, all in the portal. TJ Crandall at the time of recording's already going to Oregon State. You know, it just the secondary never panned out. It just didn't all year. We were one of the worst secondaries in the country. We were easily one of the worst secondaries in Power Four, if not the worst. So full refresh there. Like, it's, you know, who is returning? I'm looking here. Who has Jacoby Spells has a year remaining? I mean, he was one of our highest recruiting, you know, guys as well in his class. Basically
Spells, and I think Boyce got some snaps this year as a true freshman. Hopefully he retained his red shirt. I don't know if he did.
Boyce always ends up nasty in my WVU dynasties in like four or five years. But so hopefully that's a good projection. But
how many games did he get? 8. Okay, so now he's going to be a sophomore next year.
So kind of jumping back to the linebacking core. So Ben Cutter and Caden Beiser still on the roster with eligibility.
Carrico.
Reed Carrico. That's, you know, that's when we're looking across this whole team. I mean, there's not a lot of bodies remaining who played significant snaps. And I think it's just important to like point that out, that even if, you know, Neil got year zero because of roster issues. And as we move into the Rich Rod era, it's going to be super interesting to see if he can whip up a Power Four roster here in the next month or so with the portal. And we'll learn a lot. We're going to learn a lot as the weeks kind of roll by. And I think just personally, I think we need to shore up the coaching staff, and then we need to get on the road and be recruiting, because there's a lot of holes that need filled. It's just, you know, it's easy to see as you go down and say who was productive this year and who's coming back. Those lists don't overlap a ton.
No, they don't. You know, I think in terms of potential incoming, there are some guys in the portal from Jacksonville State on both sides of the ball who I expect us to court.
Yep.
On offensive side, Cam Vaughn, a wide receiver, who let me pull up his.
I saw a lot of tweets about him during the bowl game.
Yeah. So, I think now more than ever with just everybody who's gone. But yeah, so Cam Vaughn had 77 targets, 48 catches, average reception of 17 yards, had 5 touchdowns, and an 81 grade. So, I mean, pretty solid numbers for a receiver. And he would have at least 2 years, 3 years left. He might have been a redshirt freshman this year. So, you know, somebody who I think makes sense to target just in terms of if you're projecting growth in early production and room to grow. He's one. We missed on the safety, Zachariah Poyser, dude committed to Miami already. But there is another guy in the portal, Fred Davis, who has a 95 grade on 24/7 as a transfer corner. Who has not committed anywhere yet. If you look at their defensive grades, I think he had a 77 overall grade on, you know, 600 snaps. He was their best cornerback. So expect him to get a look. They also have a defensive lineman who was, I think, pretty much purely a run stuffer, like a 6'1", 330 kind of guy who played a good bit, played 300 snaps as a true freshman this year, who, if he goes in the portal, I would like to target. I don't think he's currently in there yet. So, interesting to see what happens there, but they do have some guys that, you know, I think can come and at least fill in depth spots. But yeah, man, we need to get a fucking defensive coordinator in here so we can start like actually recruiting some dudes who are going to be playing for us, you know, like seeing starters and significant contributors. So, I don't know. Jacksonville State, I think, can give us, you know, maybe a handful of guys. I'm sure there are probably a couple other Conference USA guys who, you know, they played against over the last 2 years who Rod probably thought highly of and would likely target if they're available. I haven't done all the research there yet, but yeah, we need to start. I mean, you know, we're talking about the fucking war chest and Pat McAfee's talking about, you know, telling recruits, we got money. We got money. It's like, okay, well, let's start splashing some of it, man, because... Yeah. You know, the best guys go quick. The best guys go quick, and you don't want to be scraping the bottom of the barrel because, like you said, those year one roster issues are going to make it tough to win.
They are. And, you know, I can't help but think, you know, as a West Virginia diehard fan, I feel like we got it rough sometimes. Like, oh, you get a great player, he leaves you for the SEC, and you're always kind of fighting that. How do you think Jacksonville State feels? They lose their head coach and who you know brought him to some winning, and he's probably going to take some of the best players with him potentially.
I hope so.
That's just how. Yeah, I mean, obviously, when we're on the side of picking from a team's roster, yeah, I hope we nab all the good players. So that is just the tiering of college football. Do you think, as we sit here on the winter solstice 2024, do you think Nico Markiel is the starting quarterback against Pitt next year? Do you think it is more likely than not that he is?
I think it's more likely than not. Yes. But I do think there are some interesting people in the portal. You know, I think notably Bo Perula. I don't know if we could potentially be in the mix for us, but he's obviously a guy from the area. Whose skill set definitely fits what we're going to be trying to do as a Rich Rodriguez team. I don't know as a passer if he's any better than Nico, but as a runner, he's much more like Garrett. Very, very, very good athlete. Very good with the ball in his hands. So we expect us to give him a look. And then I think the first guy that Rodriguez followed on Twitter who entered the transfer portal was Aaron Noland from Ohio State, former, you know, very high four-star. Obviously did not play much this year with Will Howard there. And then it seems like Julian Sain is going to be the incumbent for them next year. And so Aaron Nolan's, I mean, and first of all, obviously S tier name, he's a dual threat, throws a very nice ball, pretty good athlete. You know, I don't think that he's, you know, he's not like a Lamar Jackson type athlete, but can definitely run the ball. And then he's left-handed, you know? And so all these things are very intriguing to me. You know, just as part of the Rich Rod nostalgia bomb. So, but yeah, I would say more likely than not, it's Nico. Cause I do think Nico's skill set, you know, fits what Rod's trying to do. You know, he can play the RPO game. He can throw it down the field a little bit. He's a willing runner. And so, you know, he kind of checks all the boxes. And so, yeah, I don't see Nico going in the portal at this point. Cause you know, I don't think he's going to be able to transfer to another power four school.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants to move down, and he's put in his time here, you know, and so, you know, I think he's put in his time. He hangs out with, it seems like him and Garrett are very good friends. You know, we've heard how many times over the years, and then again in the post game, how much Garrett, you know, loves the fact that he came to West Virginia, loves the state, loves the university. And so, you know, hopefully Nico feels the same way and wants to try and end his career here. And I assume that that will be the case. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely waited his turn, and he's gotten, you know, he's been successful in all the times his number's been called, really. Would love for him to get that opportunity. But obviously if Prabula or whoever comes along and, you know, is going to beat him out in camp, like that's how it'll go. Yeah. Rich Rod doesn't have any allegiance to anybody on this team. He just doesn't have the history, and that's totally fine. He's going to be very objective about it. So, So how are you feeling? You think Arizona State's got a shot in the playoff?
If the last night and so far today are any indication, they're certainly not the worst team that made it. You know, it seems like there's been a lot of nerves out there. And so, you know, a team like them who very, very clearly they know who they are, what they do, on both sides of the ball, they got a chance. Who will they play the winner of? Who will they get?
Yeah, let me pull that up. Because you know the way the bracket shook out, I there's been some discourse about like it's actually better to be the fifth seed than it is to be the like having the bye in some scenarios.
Yeah.
So the fifth seed is Texas. They play Clemson. So Clemson was the last team in, and they only got in because of the auto qualifier. Texas plays Clemson. If they win, they play Arizona State.
Oh boy.
So Texas has Clemson and Arizona State, two teams that I think they're just physically superior to get into the semifinal.
Yeah. I don't like that matchup. Texas, if you look, I mean, their defense is fantastic pretty much across the board, but where they really excel is stopping the run. And so that's not great for Arizona State.
it's not ideal. So yeah, I mean, maybe we can just talk a little playoff. Obviously, the first round games are probably going to finish by the time you're hearing this pod. But Tennessee, Ohio State, winner of that plays Oregon. I think, and I'm projecting an Ohio State win right now. I think the winner of Ohio State, Oregon is going to win the national championship. That is my bold prediction. That game was really good the first time around. Kind of a goofy ending to it, but as close to a draw of a football game as you can really play. Like, if there was 1 second left on the clock, Ohio State would win the game. So, most likely. So, that's going to be a good one. On the other side of the bracket, you have Notre Dame, Georgia, which I was impressed by Notre Dame. I think they were much better than Indiana, but they played really well. And definitely surprised me a little bit. So, I think Georgia doesn't feel unbeatable as they have in years past. Obviously, they've lost some games. That's going to be an interesting one. And then the final one, I'm going to go ahead and pencil Penn State in over SMU. They're up 28 at half. They're going to take on Boise. And I wonder if Boise can match the physicality. Penn State's defense, man, they might just make Genty get shut down. I don't know. That's going to be the best defense he's going to play.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I think back to the Oregon game. What was it, week two or three? Really, it was in September when Boise played Oregon.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there's no secret what Boise's going to do. And Genty still ran for 200 yards and three touchdowns. Yeah. I think it has since probably become clear that Oregon's defense maybe isn't quite as good as people thought it was back in September. Conversely, Penn State's, I think, it is probably as good as people thought, which is, you know, a top 10 unit nationally. Certainly no shortage of pieces on the defensive front or at the linebacker positions. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for Boise. You know, and it's Genty's last game, so the dude's going to get 40 carries, right? Like, I mean, they're going to win or lose with him getting the ball, which is the way it should be. Because he's a great player, and I look forward to seeing whether or not it can work.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't know. It's so crazy. You look at this bracket in the fifth and the sixth seed. I just mentioned the Texas path. The sixth seed is Penn State. They're getting SMU and they're cleaning them up right now. And then they get Boise, who I think they're a good bit better than to get to the semis. I mean, it's not a, it's not a terrible path.
No, it's and you're not wrong. And it's because, the four highest conference champions get the bye, right? And so there's always going to be the chance that you do get a G5 conference champion. So, maybe you're right. Maybe fifth or sixth seed is the way to try and angle. I mean, you don't want to lose games on purpose, but
I am all for in a game in college football. I'm all for like you earn your position in something like this. Like I get it. The bracket is not supposed to be. It's the same way with like ranking. Sometimes it's not supposed to be the best team always is. It's not ordered by best to worst team. It's ordered by did you deserve or did you earn. So you know, Boise and Arizona State get the bye, but they won their conferences. They did what they had to do. That's what it was. These other teams, yeah, Penn State, you might be better. Why'd you lose multiple games? Every team who doesn't have a first round bye, cool, you had a path to do it and you didn't do it. So to say you're better than those teams, I'm not saying you're wrong, but these teams earned the distinction. They did what the rules line out, what it takes to get the bye. So,
and I hate it, dude. Herb Street, I don't know if you watched game day at all last night or today, just talking about how like, well, Indiana's clearly outclassed, so we need to get some of these other teams, you know, Ole Miss, right, Alabama, teams who recruiting-wise probably on paper are better matchups. And it's like, you know, don't lose to fucking 6-6 Vanderbilt. Yep. Don't lose to 4-8 Kentucky. Yep. You know, I mean, the SEC is undefeated on paper, right? Like, of course. Yep. Oh, it's the SEC. Like, they would never lose. And then ultimately they do. And yeah, the national champions come from there a lot. And the top of that conference for the last two decades has been insane, has been the class of college football. But I really don't think the rank and file, once you get below the fourth or fifth best team in that conference, is significantly better than the rank and file of any other conference. Certainly not of the upper echelons of any other conference. So I think it's just really, it's a stupid argument to make. I know they're making it because ESPN is partnered with the SEC. So, of course, we're going to pump up the SEC and, oh, coulda, shoulda, woulda done this and that. But it's like, you know what? The whole point of making the playoffs is you have to win the games you're supposed to win to get to the fucking playoffs. The best teams in the NFL don't make the playoffs every year. It's the teams who win the fucking games.
Exactly.
And so, you know, Boise, SMU, Arizona State, are they, you know, three of the 12 best teams in the country? If you were going to line up on a neutral field and play 10 games, would they win any of those series against – you know, an Ole Miss or an Alabama? Probably not. But, you know, fix the rest of your system and then bitch about it. Like, it's so broken anyways that we're going to complain about, you know, these teams doing what we laid the path out. They walked the path and now we don't want them to get in. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, also, until this year, there's no question that a three-loss Alabama is not going to win the national title. It used to be just two teams and then it was just four teams in a play. Like, now that it's 12, there will always be a debate on the line, and I get that. That's fine. But to be like, no, we were the 12th best team, not the 13th. We deserve a shot. It's like, well, you know, why is March Madness? Would March Madness be so fun if we put the best 68 teams in? Because it'd just be like full of Big 12 teams and ACC teams. And it's fun when you throw these extra teams in and give them incentive and give their fan base. Like, this is the Super Bowl for Indiana, SMU, Boise, Arizona State. And I have a lot of intrigue, and I kind of would rather watch them potentially pull something off than watch like four loss SEC teams play each other for the third time this year or something like that.
100%. Complete agreement. Maybe it's because we're not, fans of one of those blue bloods or one of those four, we're not Alabama fans, right? And so, it's like, no, this is what makes it fun, dude, these teams haven't shown up yet. SMU's driving here early. And SMU, actually, I mean, they've moved the ball on Penn State. They've just fucked around a little bit.
Yeah,
They had three turnovers in the first half. And then a turnover on downs inside Penn State's 10. I don't know. Have you watched the whole game?
I saw all three picks. Yeah. I mean, Penn State has eaten them up. And yeah, if it wasn't for the three picks, SMU played fine. Their defense has played well.
Did you see the turnover on downs on their first drive?
I don't know that I did. I was like still trying to figure out where I could watch TNT on.
get you some YouTube TV, cuz. But no, so they have like a fourth and three or four inside the 15. I don't know if I want to say inside the 10, but run a really nice play, like a rollout play, and their quarterback probably could have scrambled for the first down. But you know, kind of pulled up and just floated it, like the flat defender committed to him, floated it over his head to the tight end who is going to walk into the end zone, and just like floated it behind him. So the dude had to adjust and then turned right into a defender and it got knocked out. But like, again, where it's like, I mean, it's a turnover on downs, but like it should have been a touchdown. Like this game should be much closer than it is. And so, you know, and now again, SMU's moving the ball again. I guarantee they've outgained Penn State. I don't have the box score pulled up in front of me, but like, this is what's fun, is like seeing if SMU can, like, can SMU go into Happy Valley and beat Penn State?
I'd much rather watch that than like a 3-4 loss Ole Miss versus Alabama. Like, maybe that is a slightly higher caliber of football, but you know, from an entertainment, and college football has always been like special because of, every random school has a shot, and yeah, I'm all for giving these schools a shot. It is exciting. Like, I am more engaged with the playoff probably than the 4-team playoff, because you know, we are seeing it almost every year now. Like, some Big 12 team can get hot and can be in the mix. I mean, TCU did the unthinkable a couple years back, Arizona State. You know, these programs are playing their way into the conversation, and this is like a realistic thing that West Virginia on a good year could be in. And right. That would be awesome. That would be so cool for our fan base and for our program. So,
dude, Morgantown hosting a first round playoff game would be absolute. I mean, this is not even like a comparison or an analogy or a metaphor that you can throw out that would like do justice what it would be. I mean, it would be a full on religious experience. Like, dude, last night, the Notre Dame, like the team running on, and my buddy immediately texted me and he's like, I need us to host a first round playoff game more than I need air to breathe. Like, literally. Then their first drive, their first play from scrimmage, 98 yard touchdown. Like, I would have passed out in the stadium if that happened. Yeah. You know? So it's really, really cool. And yeah, it's feasible, right? Like, we could totally get hot for a year and make it.
You just got to win our league, and you look around our league and there's no program that I'm terrified of.
Not
Oklahoma
one.
And Texas gone. There's not a team I'm like, one. How are we supposed to compete with them?
Not one team.
Yeah. Cool. So off season stuff, we have to get merch figured out, because we keep getting messages about merch. We'll have to figure out some sort of setup for that. And then we also want to get Jake on and do a season in review. We'll be getting that. What do you think? Sometime around the new year?
Yeah. I think hopefully before the holiday. We'll see how travel schedules work out. But if not before, then that day or two after. It's going to be fun to talk about how shitty that we were in all facets and how we underperformed.
We'll have to have
maybe just don't even do a pod. Maybe we can just stop with that. We were shitty in all facets and we underperformed. But.
It'll just be a blog post. It's like, yeah, we'll have to figure out some superlatives. If you have some good ones, we'll crowdsource some. And also, I guess, open source any off-season content that you want to hear. I don't know. I've kind of been trying to brainstorm of some things we could do over the summer, sort of keep it fresh. But if there's something that you guys are interested in hearing, let us know. Like, we can do retrospect. I mean, I was almost even thinking, like, is there like Rich Rod retrospectives that we would like to do? Like, just as a building.
Go back and watch some old games or something like that?
Yeah, like watch the Sugar Bowl again. Or I recently watched the fourth quarter of the Louisville 05 game. Yeah. And also just watching football from like 20 years ago was awesome, because it's just such a different game. I mean, they're like under center and doing all kinds of, I don't know, the game just looks so much different. So I don't know, if there are some like fun ideas like that people are interested in, let us know. We'll also brainstorm and try to think of some cool stuff to do this summer and spring. So, all right, anything else you want to add?
Hire defensive coordinator immediately. What are we doing?
Let's do it. Yeah. Hopefully by the time this pod's out, they're hired.
Jesus Christ.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. You can catch us on Smoking Musket Discord, smokingmusket.com. You can catch us on Twitter. I'm somehow locked out of our West by pod again.
Yeah, we need to get that sorted out, man. So, I tried to send you some resets, but
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but it will not let me reset the password. So you are the lone holder of the West by Pod account right
now.
It's
not good. It's not good, Bob. It's not good.
But yeah, thank you guys as always for listening. We will catch you very soon with some season and review material.
Sounds good. All right, take care, gang.
Homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.